first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Good afternoon, welcome to a sun-drenched football podcast.
Very lovely.
A little bit different this week, we're standing up.
I'm not sure how I feel about this.
We've been to the same pub every week throughout the cold winter bit. As soon as a bit of sunshine, it's absolutely rams.
We've even got down...
Nice weather drinkers, to be fair. It's not fair, but there we go. Podcast number 74. Dan, have you got a 74 fact for us?
No, I don't, because after last week, I don't want to get open my mouth and get involved again.
All right, 1974, year of the 74 World Cup. West Germany beat Holland 2-1 in the final. What you might not know is Jack Taylor was the referee. He was born in Wolverhampton, and he gave two penalties in the first half an hour.
Did he?
Yeah, so everyone remembers Jack Taylor for that final. No, I don't either. But then again, we were around in 74. It's a little bit different. It's been an action-packed week since we last did a show, guys. It's been a lot of football. Champions League, FA Cup, Football League. We cook off as usual with your...
Cook off
if you want.
We cook off. It'll be
hot enough to roast a... We could roast a raw egg on a Stuart Hall's jumper. How high do you reckon the temperature is at the moment? Mid-20s?
No, early 20s. But it's early 20s. And it's warm.
I'd say 22, 23. Stuart Hall is wearing a jumper.
Arms are up. Sleeves are up.
Oh, yeah, arms are out.
Jerome's got a jumper.
Jerome's wearing a thicker jumper.
Yeah, and a black T-shirt underneath. Didn't matter.
It's not that hot. It's not hot. It's not that hot.
What do you mean it's not that hot? We're just saying it's sweltering. All right, we'll move on. Sean, your performance of the week. Was it a player?
Wigan, away at Liverpool. I know Liverpool have been pants recently.
Liverpool are just rubbish. Right?
It was a great result for them. It's been coming, I think. Some of their performances of late, Wigan. They've been threatening to absolutely batter teams.
We were saying last week, it was Sue that you said it, I think. You said they always seem to get out there.
Always.
Mm. So you reckon they're going to do it again?
No.
Yeah, I'm
but I mean, they are capable of pulling out a result like that. Which, yeah. Obviously, no one would have seen that coming, but I can't see QPR going to a big team like that and winning.
Yeah, but I think QPR got goals in there, whereas Wigan probably haven't.
No, Cissé's gone, hasn't he?
Have you seen Cissé every game? Cissé has either scored or been sent off, that's right, isn't it?
Certainly is.
So he's quite busy, but he's now banned for four games.
Yeah.
And you've got...
Isn't it in total you've been banned out of six out of 13 games that he can play or something ridiculous?
Well, by the time these next four are up, it'd have been banned more than he's played.
Right.
Good news.
Yeah.
Good news.
Great signing.
And you've got what, Arsenal next?
Arsenal at home Saturday, yes.
Okay. Thoughts on that, Stu? Well, looking forward to it.
He scores when he wants, doesn't
he? Oh, yeah, he scores. Yeah. Do you reckon he wants?
He doesn't want it this weekend, I've heard.
Fair enough. Fitzall's going to... is Fitzall still at your place?
He is. Probably something to do with his groin. He drives too far to training, doesn't he?
Clint Hill. Clint Hill's going to keep
fit.
It quiet.
He's been injured, hasn't he? I hope he's fit.
All right, so you're saying Wigan, Sean, yeah?
Yeah.
Jay?
I might take the glory from Stu there, but... I'll have to say QPR against Liverpool.
Mate, you've got the deepest voice I've ever known, and it's going about a 0.1 on the little Richter scale. Speak up!
It doesn't travel well.
There you go. Like QPR.
Well, I'd have to say QPR will come back from 2-0 down.
Is that since we did the last show?
No, it's not.
No,
Did
you not listen to last week's show, Jerome?
That was the performance of last week.
Yeah.
He's going to mention the Titanic sinking for his next point.
I'm sorry. I have no...
Speaking of which, you're going to the premiere tonight, aren't you, Jim?
Apparently, yeah.
Are you actually?
Yeah, I'm not. Well,
you
I don't know.
It's paid like 150
quid for the tickets. I haven't paid anything. No. They're free tickets. So I just put it around the office. Who wants to go and watch Titanic? My missus loves it. Don't say anything stupid because it might not come off. But,
Yeah,
it's potential. Yeah, it's potential.
Yeah. We're moving.
This is live. We are moving because we've just found a table.
Get in.
Can someone bring my drink? All right, so...
We're live and on the move.
That is a little bit redundant from what Jay's just said because...
That was last week's performance of the week.
Yeah, last week's performance of the week is not this week's. Jay, have you got anything else for us or should we move on to Dan?
Move on, I think we should move on.
move on like we just moved tables.
We've done that. Nah, Jay, you have to stand up for that. Ridiculous. There's got to be one over there. Sorry, mate.
Dan, go on.
Yes, mate. I had Wigan penciled in because it was a great result, but my performance of the week was from last night. Unfortunately,
keeping it a lot more topical than Jay's pick.
A lot more topical.
I liked it when England beat Scotland at Euro 96. That is my performance of the week.
Are we still on that?
Yeah, we are still on that. Jay's just going to find himself a chair, so today's not been a complete failure for him, at least.
But no, Adam Bogdan. Last night, I saw the. I know they. Spurs.
Bowen goalkeeper.
He made. I watched the highlights this morning. He must have made in the first half. I think he made 8 saves.
Can I just say it's a lot better sitting down, isn't it?
It's much better. I was really uncomfortable.
It didn't feel right.
But I mean, mate, the highlight. I watched the Spurs highlights this morning. He was absolutely phenomenal. I think he made 3 double saves in the first half, and. It was absolutely outstanding. We could have won 6 or 7.
Didn't equate to much, though, did it?
It didn't, but it
who's
was...
Who's this Nelson? Who scored that? It's not...
Brian Nelson.
The Blackburn set half. 35-year-old... got for a free.
New Zealand.
When did they sign him?
In January.
Yeah.
Same time as Luis Saha.
And where did they sign him from?
Blackburn. He's a Blackburn skipper, wasn't it? No.
He was.
He's been playing then, has he?
No, he's been back up. But it's been... With our record of bloody centre-backs, he's actually... I'm glad we brought him in. I'm not sure how good he is. He hasn't been that great for us, the games he's played, but I tell you what, he got the ball rolling last night, so...
Fair enough.
There we go. But a quality performance from Bogdan. I mean, he looked tasty.
He does look a good keeper, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does,
yeah. He's ginger, though, Jim.
Yeah, position authority and all that.
He's kind of a position authority and kind of not, but, nah, we'll give him that.
He's got his luck on side, hasn't he? That goal that we scored against him that was disallowed, well, not even disallowed, just wasn't credited, was it?
True.
Well, yeah.
I tell you what, I was going to bring this for later news, but as we're touching on the game last night, right? If this is true, this is absolutely bloody brilliant, right? There was a, you know,
we'll be judging that.
No, you will be judging that, and you'll love this, Dapes. You know, there was a last night.
I really hope I hate it.
Last night there was it was all over Twitter, all the traffic news. Basically, there was a really bad crash. I think on the 7-6
right. The game got put back by a corner, didn't it?
It was half 7 kickoff, right? There was a massive crash. There was like, if you cannot drive, don't drive, because it's an absolute nightmare. Now I saw later on that evening.
If you cannot drive, don't drive. Surely that's a given anyway.
Yeah, you know.
I haven't got a license. I'm not going to start driving.
It was a retweet from Jake Livermore, and I really hope this is true. But it was LB_Brad. Tweeted, when a man like at Jake Livermore at 29 Jail abandons car and has to sprint over a mile to the stadium with schoolboys chasing him, LOL.
Schoolboys chasing him.
Excellent. No.
But can you imagine? I mean, if that is true, if genuinely Jake Livermore was that stuck in traffic, had to abandon his car and leg it down to White Hart Lane because he was late for the FA Cup game, that is absolutely
legendary. Did he
play? He started.
If that's true, I want to try and find out if that's true. That is brilliant.
I want to know what's happened to his car. It's gone, isn't it? It's been there.
It's left in Tottenham. It's not there anymore.
Great story. And he's got a shout on the podcast, but he's got no car. So he had to walk home, I presume.
He could probably buy another one.
He went by Swings and Roundabouts. Interesting.
But if that's true, that is brilliant.
I know a case of that before. A genuine goalkeeper turned up on a bike to an away game at Leyton Orient.
Brilliant.
Simon Royce, the used player QPR, turned up on a bike to an away game at Leyton Orient, which was nice. We lost. So there you go.
He was
Stuart.
Makeda. He's gone back to United, so it's the last time we've seen him, thank Christ.
Right. What, and that's your performance of the week?
Yeah, 6 games, no starts. Bye, mate.
He scored a few goals for them, didn't he? A couple of seasons ago. Well, not for you. I didn't say you. I said for them. A couple of seasons ago, he scored the winner.
Yeah. When United won the league, he scored a... It was in Villa, wasn't it? Yeah, for 2-1, he came
Villa
on.
Villa or Villa Reserves?
Villa.
Villa, okay. Villa,
yeah. Talk about Villa Reserves in a bit, won't we, Jim?
Hopefully Jay's got an update for us.
We have.
My one's a little bit different. I'm going to give it to Portsmouth. For their win last night, they beat Hull City 2-0. Hull City are doing well, shouting about themselves.
Well, was it at Portsmouth as well?
Yeah, it was at Portsmouth.
Amazingly, they're
now off the bottom, despite being 10 points deducted. Yeah. I think they won at the weekend
really?
As well. Yeah, they're off the bottom. Doncaster are now bottom. If they had the points back, they'd be about 6th or 7th bottom. They're not going to get the points back, so it's pretty redundant.
But I have to say, Doncaster do look a very good side.
You do half shout sometimes, don't you?
Oh, look, you're accusing Jay for not shouting.
Yeah,
you're accusing
him. I have to tell you something. All right, mate. I'm sitting right here. We've got closer now.
Doncaster are not that good.
Doncaster.
That's been silly.
Doncaster aren't very good, but they managed to get a point last night against Crystal Palace, is what you were saying. Yeah. Bit of a shame for them. They've got a really good point at Sellers Park, and they're going to look at the league table and think, right, we're bottom now, we are the worst in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
So, not very good. But yeah, no, Portsmouth. And they basically, they've got, what's his name? Afton?
Appleton.
Appleton. Michael Appleton. What?
Yeah.
Him.
Michael Appleton, they got.
He looks like a little bit like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. Got the same
good looking bloke,
yeah, really good looking bloke. And he's basically said that all the players are up for sale, in essence, because if they get a decent offer for anyone, like Liam Lawrence has gone to Cardiff, I think it's a loan with a view to a permanent. Basically, if they get any offers decent for anyone, they've got to let them go because of the financial assets they're in. So to pull through that and start getting some decent results, and they're giving themselves a chance now. I really hope they stay up. It'd be really good, because if they go down to League One, it's a slippery slope from there as well, isn't it? So
the amount of money they owe, it's
They're a big club. They've always, like Shooter, they've always got good support and a decent support as well. So good luck to them. Right, we'll move on. Champions League. Who watched it? There was actually three games on TV last night.
Too many, and I was playing footy. I didn't see any of them.
It's too much for on TV.
It's too much. No, I didn't get to see any. I was playing footy myself.
Well, Spurs were rubbish, I'll tell you that.
Wow,
I was channel up between the three. The best game of the lot was the Sunderland-Everton game. There was so much passion there. Sunderland were quite good first half, but Everton were just clinical.
But that's lined up an absolutely blinding FA Cup.
We said last week, I said, emotions aside, I quite wanted Spurs to go through. Spurs-Chelsea, Liverpool-Everton, that is a great
weekend. What a weekend. And it's done... Chelsea beating Benfica 1-0 last night at Benfica has given them a very good chance of getting the Champions League final.
Yeah, but they've asked to move the game,
but
they won't move it.
From what I've been reading, the chance of them, because of the police will veto
it. They've already got the logistics and Wembley is so booked up, they probably can't move it anyway.
Exactly.
And basically, to anyone who doesn't know, Chelsea are going to be through, if they do get through to the quarterfinal, or the semi-final of Champions League, they would have been asked the FA to move the FA Cup date because they wouldn't have had enough time to prepare.
To the Friday evening.
Never going to happen.
No, because they want to play on the Friday evening because...
They're playing on Tuesday.
No, the next Wednesday, they're playing... So it'll be 3 days before their Champions League first... leg semi final.
Play the Saturday, is it? Because of Liverpool and Everton.
So they've asked for a Friday. It's not going to happen. I reckon the Met Police will veto it, and in general they won't do it. So that's an absolute touch for Spurs, because well, 3 days before a Champions League semi final first leg against AC Milan.
Chelsea have got a big enough squad, though. Chelsea have got a big enough squad. It's going to be a great game. Paolo Ferreira played last night as well. Did you see that?
Yeah. And he played quite well. One more Portuguese player than Solomon... the whole of Benfica's starting lineup.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I can't believe Solomon Kalou got the winner. What are them in the
have
money
you seen
on that?
What happened?
No, I missed it.
Fernando Torres
should
have done the easy thing, cut it back. Instead, he's tripped up and sort of clonked the ball across the Kalou.
Well, just fought forward.
If he'd have done the easy thing, like most players, just cut it back. But no, he sort of tripped up and the ball's.
To be fair, though, it was a really good run from him.
Oh yeah, he smoked.
And
he actually showed
some emotion when the goal went in. You can actually see him sort of like giving it one and all that, like actually celebrating.
He's changed his contract, hasn't he? He gets money for assists now, not goals.
Yeah. Jose gets money for celebrations.
And that would be good. Celebratory bonus.
Most of the best on that fucking somersault he does.
The best celebration. Yeah, I like that. To do the somersault after a goal or after a red card?
Both.
Yeah, good. I quite like to see that as well. We'll get up to red cards in a minute, because there was some tasty red cards knocking around last night.
Oh, so certainly were.
So, yeah, the FA Cup is set up very nicely.
It's brilliant, isn't it? That is a great weekend. My old man's trying to sort out tickets, which would be absolutely brilliant. But.
And to be fair, the Everton fans were class last night. I think they had about 7,000 there, something like that. And I would not bet against Everton beating Liverpool. In some instances, they've got nothing to lose, really, because Liverpool are still going to be favourites.
Of course.
All the pressure is going to be on the Liverpool. Yeah.
I'm really hoping Liverpool win, because Everton are a proper bogey team for us. And I reckon we've got a much better chance of beating Liverpool in the final if we get there than we have of doing Everton.
I don't think you're going to beat Chelsea, to be honest.
Ooh.
I don't think you will.
Do you not? I think we will.
I genuinely would like a Spurs-Liverpool final.
That'd be a pretty good. I
think that would be a good final.
I mean, normally Chelsea-Liverpool would be a good final as well. Obviously, that's not what I want.
I think any team would be a good final, to be fair.
Yeah, but I just like the fact Spurs fans will be so desperate for a win at Wembley. So desperate. And normally I'd say Everton, but Everton played Chelsea a few seasons ago when Sahar scored the first goal, didn't he? Or Pinar? Sahar put them 1-0 up, and Tony Hibbert got hooked off half time as well, and they lost 2-1, I think. Drogba got the winner. But so they've sort of been there and had the chance. Spurs Liverpool on paper, just I think that would be a decent game.
Yeah.
I think there'd be goals in that as well. But I mean, I don't really care. I think in any final now is going to be a decent final, because there's four really good teams in the draw. And especially Everton and Spurs are going to be so hungry for some silverware.
I can't remember the last time we were in an FA Cup final.
91.
Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah, I don't think so since then.
I don't think we have.
The last time you were in the semi final, obviously, you got done by Portsmouth.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the VIP section.
Were you?
Yeah, in miniature
parts. That was awful. That was an awful game.
Well, not for Portsmouth. Not for Portsmouth, great game for them. But as we're talking about Champions League, did you all see the blog that we put up for Drogba?
Yeah.
Feigning the.
That was terrible.
Stuart, thoughts on Didier Drogba?
La 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 la.
I wouldn't want to say it on air, mate.
Fair enough. We'll leave that one there. Did you see the video?
I have seen the video, yeah.
Basically, to anyone who hasn't seen it, it was. Is it the Chelsea? That's Chelsea TV.
Canteen.
So he must have known.
I bet he didn't.
He did. He was acting up for the camera.
I get the impression that they film pretty much like Big Brother. So
yeah, they film the whole lot. Yeah.
Then they can put the TV, because channels like this, they just need content.
Something.
Constant footage, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Like someone trips over, boom. Someone
gets shot with a rifle.
Someone sets off the snow grenade.
That would be a great show. Chelsea Big Brother. Yeah. Just Big Brother at the training complex. It'd be fucking brilliant.
Smoke grenades, air rifles.
Yeah, Ashley Cole just going around with guns, toting. So anyway, yeah, we're watching the draw for the Champions League, which must have been a good sort of 3-4 weeks ago now anyway.
No, it was less than that, wasn't it?
Was it? Oh, no, yeah, because it was after they played Napoli.
Yeah, it was only a couple of weeks
ago. Yeah, all right. So, and the draw came out that they played Benfica, and he looks like he's sort of mocking them slightly.
Yeah, it's a weird little birdie dance, isn't it? What's that all about?
No, as if he's shaking, as if he's sort of quivering with fear Benfica. Yeah.
Feigning interest, basically. It's quite good acting, which we knew Dropper was quite good anyway, let's be honest. But there we go.
That's what his fullback career is.
Yeah, very true, very true. I've got a Bath City Stadium name.
Wow. Have you? Yeah. Oh, have you?
Caught your eyes around this, fellas.
A headed letter.
We've had official correspondence.
I don't believe it.
We've got match tickets.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. When is it for?
Well, you get excited. We're not going.
No.
I'd like to go.
Ninth.
I'd go.
Oh, go
on.
You don't need to go.
Are you going to get down to Bath?
Oh, early train ticket. Yeah. TheTrainLine.com.
You should go. That'd be magical. It's the bank holiday weekend.
No.
Bank holiday Monday.
Monday. Oh, I'm already.
Oh, it's the Monday.
Yeah. Oh, look, they're all back chucking now.
Hang on. Is it evening afternoon?
It'll be a 3 o'clock game. Yeah, Monday 9th of April, 3 p.m.
Oh, well.
Oh.
Well, at the moment, Gillingham got a home game, but after last night, Gillingham got no chance of doing anything this season, so I might even go as well.
What's the chat stage?
Got the letter, thank you for the entry to the Name Stadium promotion. Load of other chat. Draw will take place at half time on the 9th of April match. Match tickets enclosed. Good luck for the draw, basically, would be the summarisation of it. But there you go, we've got match tickets to show for our money. So hopefully, we get a call on the Tuesday morning. Little ring ring. Hello, Mr. Staples from the Football Podcast.
Can you imagine?
Congratulations. It's now called the Football Podcast Stadium. Bad news is that they lost 1-0 home last night and they're bottom of the league.
Oh. Nah. Didn't matter.
Shame. No. But still.
We'd have to actually really sort this podcast out and turn it into a decent show.
I know, exactly.
Because if we do that.
Everyone was
We actually That's got that much publicity, it? We'd actually have to turn this into a decent show.
Imagine our reviews on iTunes after that.
We value the fact that we are amateurs and we are cheap imitations. That's what we are.
If you can call us that.
Well, the Football Ramble called us that once.
Yeah.
I think
isn't that part of their like
bio, yeah. Yeah. We don't know if it's actually about us. I'd like to think it might be. But yeah, the Ramble, like, they're quality. Like, we're never gonna compete with anything like that. We're just having a laugh in a pub.
True.
Doing it on iPhone. We had to move tables, for God's sake. I don't think you listen to any decent podcasts. Shock a BBC or Telegraph. Oh, God, we've got to move tables.
To you.
And then someone carries the iPhone over to the other table. We're rubbish, basically, is what we're saying. So we're not going to get better. Just we have a stadium named after us. It'd be quite nice. It gives us a bit of curiosity, doesn't it?
Brilliant.
It'd be very nice. Very nice. One little bit of managerial news, as I like to give you. Bournemouth.
Yep.
Mutual consent, apparently.
Yeah, well, apparently, according to Bournemouth, but then Lee Bradbury came out and said that.
That's a really nice fluffy statement, like the club had decided to part, mutual consent, Beth did, and they just went, nah, I got sacked. I'd quite like to know whether it was anything to do with the chairman's wife doing the team talks and stuff like that, but she just came in and sacked him and said, yeah, I don't know how they're looking. Get rid of him, we'll get someone else in. They were 2-0 up last night at Stevenage, and Stevenage are doing really well. They're only 2-3 points behind outside the playoffs, but ended up drawing 2-2. Stevenage got one back just for half time, I think, and then levelled it in the second half. So, but it'll be interesting to see who they bring in, because there's a fair few decent managers out of a job at the moment. Yep. So and a few of them were going down. Like AD Blythrew went to Northampton this season.
Yeah, he did.
Not doing very well there. But it was at the sort of appointment at a League Two club, especially a League Two club right at the bottom of the league.
Exactly.
It was like, oh, okay, that's quite. Because there's so many managers, like players, out of contract. So we'll keep you up to date with that and we'll let you know what happens there. Ben Foster. Has anyone seen this?
I haven't.
Yeah,
mate.
I haven't.
Basically, he's on loan at the moment to West Brom with a view to a permanent. And West Brom basically had, in principle, agreed the deal to sign him permanently because he's done really well there. So he's on loan, permanent signing, and they were sort of just talking about the paperwork this week. And then Birmingham said, well, no, it's not a done deal. West Brom were like, well, it's a view to a permanent, we've agreed to permanent. Birmingham are now saying, basically, if they get promoted, then the deal is like negated.
Null and void.
Yeah, null and void. So they want him back. So West Brom, obviously, Roy Hodgson's not too happy about that. So, and Ben Foster himself is probably just like, well, one Birmingham
rocking
club,
a hard place, really,
isn't it? Yeah. Well, to be fair, all he'll care about is first team football, really, isn't it?
And yeah, obviously, he'll get it either, won't he?
Yeah, but isn't he one
and
of
Premier
the,
League football?
Isn't he one of the goalkeepers that decided that he's not going to be selected for England?
He did retire, didn't he? From
is he playing now? Because surely one of the best things about playing in the Premier League is gives yourself a chance to get into the England team. If not, he could have just stayed at Birmingham and played Championship football there, couldn't he? Maybe not his decision in terms of wages and what have you, but it's an interesting one.
Yeah, I guess you'd always rather play top flight football rather than.
I suppose so, if you want to bet yourself and what have you. But then again, if you're.
How old is he?
He's
27.
Yeah, mid 20s.
We're basically guessing, aren't we?
Yeah, I've no idea.
Like, you said how old is he, and everyone's. Stu's going to go right onto Wikipedia, isn't he?
No? Football Ramble would know this.
Yeah, exactly. If they were, were professionals, we'd have known it straight away.
Oh, well.
But that's going to be quite interesting. And Birmingham, we're going to talk about the Championship in a minute. Birmingham were on a really good run. They've fallen a little bit slightly. Like they drew with Cardiff at the weekend, missed the penalty. Marlon King missed the penalty as well. But I could see. I could see if they make the playoffs. I could see them. I could see them staying in there and getting to the final.
They've not got bad squads, and I think Chris Hughton's a very good manager.
They've got the key thing about it as well, they've got playoff experience, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've been there, done that. Under Trevor Francis, they came really close. I think they got knocked out by Preston 1 year, I remember, in the playoff.
He's going back a few years, though, Trevor Francis.
He's going back, but I mean, that's still ingrained in a club's ethos.
Psyche.
Yeah, and even down to the fans. Those fans get into a playoff competition, they'll probably be quite enthusiastic and quite confident, and that'll translate itself to the players anyway.
Definitely does. I mean, teams with that kind of history, like Cardiff, for example, that history of falling
exactly,
the final hurdle, the fans do get nervous, and that does definitely translate itself to the pitch.
Sure.
I did zone out a little bit there, sorry, because I've just noticed Sean Miller's arm.
Oh, yeah.
He's got half an arm this bloody hell. We played football
bitten by a shark
on Monday night.
Make it sound sexy.
It was pretty sick. Well, we played football Monday night. Mirror FC versus MPG Agency FC, 4-2 winners on our debut.
Yep.
Just say, go on the boys. But
the mirror.
Sean has literally taken half of his arm off.
Yeah, you want to
also
see
as we're talking about Mirror 4-2. There was four people. There's five of us here today. Four of us were supposed to be playing. Jay had a dodgy Thai curry apparently.
Yeah,
and cried off sick. Mr. Coxon was even worse. He came into work. I mean, having said he would play, he came into work and said that he had to pick his friend up from the airport so he wouldn't be able to play.
And do you know why he didn't play Tuesday lunchtime as well?
He had to get his PlayStation fixed.
Because he had to get his PlayStation
fixed. That's worse than
this
mine.
Is coming up. I think the boy's got this book of worst excuses.
Has anyone seen him play football?
Yeah. He's not bad. He's not a bad left-sided player.
He is quite bad.
Yeah, you're right. He's not great.
He's known for his poor excuses, but that was he was scraping the barrel with that one. I've got to pick my friend up from the airport. It was a family emergency.
Hang on.
So I said, get his family to pick him up then.
We've had this before. Eddie Peters. He had to leave. Didn't he, to pick someone up from the airport?
It's true, yeah. Unfortunately, Stuart, only I know what you're talking about. not only do the three people in front of us know what you're talking about, but everyone listening doesn't know.
Do you mean, I thought you were saying, not only the three people, but the three people listening as well, I know what you're talking about as well.
The two people listening now, one of them is not.
I'm not worried about them.
Stu's not worried about them, so that's fine. How did we get onto that?
Because
you looked because he was making a nice point, and you started bogging out his elbow.
Right.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Sean? Can you remember?
We'd finished.
Oh, had he?
That's why I jumped in afterwards.
All right, fair enough. Right, we'll move on. Peter Crouch.
Oh, what a goal.
Wallet.
Bloody hell.
Cross. You had.
I only watched this about 5 minutes before because I'd missed it. Blood before we came down here. Bloody
the goalkeeper
hell.
Missed it.
Yeah.
What a goal.
Though, it just looks definitely ridiculous because it's Peter Crouch. It's his legs and arms all over the place. Just
it was done overhead too. Well, ridiculous as well, but unbelievable, unbelievable techers.
Absolutely. I'm disappointed he didn't pull out the dance.
Yeah.
I mean, that if any goal deserved the robot,
Patrick against Kuwait or everyone. Jamaica. I know it's Jamaica, but Kuwait is for comical value, Stuart. Don't look at me like you're about to win, mate. Yeah, that wasn't worth a dance.
But that, bloody hell, that, what a strike.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that you've tagged on the little question, should he make the England squad again?
No. I wouldn't discount it. I think, I want Grant Holt and Wayne Rooney up front is what I want.
Grant Holt and Wayne Rooney, dream team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I think they complement it. Whilst we're talking about England, it's amazing that the press seem to have forgotten about it. The England thing is, the managerial thing is just now being left.
It's weird, isn't it?
No one's talking about it, apart from us.
I'm thankful, to be honest. I mean, I know it's a big issue, but it gets boring, doesn't it?
I've booked tickets to the Euros. Yeah. I'd like a manager in place at some point.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
They're not. The thing is, they're not going to get a manager sorted before the end of the season.
Well, Glenn Hoddle wants the job, so...
Who's giving him his backing?
Well, Ollie Drury.
One of the pundits has been giving him his backing. Yeah, it'd be great.
To be honest, England under Glenn Hoddle were probably one of the best England sides in a long time.
Yeah, he had a good group of players to work with, though, didn't he?
Yeah, possibly.
He's been out of the game for, like...
God knows how long.
Yeah, but he's been coaching youth.
Yeah, but I know, Glenn Hoddle was genuinely one of England's greatest ever midfielders. Absolutely wonderful player.
But it doesn't matter. We're talking about manager.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Wonderful, wonderful player. Mm. Shit coach.
Okay, since Glenn Hoddle, go four managers before Glenn Hoddle and the managers since, who's been better than Hoddle?
No,
Terry Venables.
He was...
That was before, and that was Euro 96 in our own country.
Yeah, how many games did he actually win in Euro 96? Two?
Yeah, not many. The qualifying campaign to get us to the World Cup, 98,
did we?
Was amazing. Mm. Absolutely amazing. We won two in normal time in Euro 96. We drew Switzerland 1-1, beat Scotland, beat Holland,
and then drew with Spain penalties, and then lost to Germany.
And then lost to the Germans.
Oh, still won, though, didn't we?
Yeah, but I mean, that's on home turf. The football we played under Glenn Hoddle, and he had a decent team, but he brought players through as well.
Yeah,
it's not the move to make.
What I'm saying is, when he first got announced, I had loads of people going Glenn Hoddle and laughing their ass off, and then that's what the point I made was he that bad though? Was he really that bad? The reason he lost his job, let's not forget, the reason he lost his job was not for footballing reasons, it's because he said something stupid.
Oh yeah, I've got a good idea. Why don't we put him in charge of the Paralympic?
Oh, God.
Sean Miller.
Bear in mind there's someone in a wheelchair right behind you as well. It's even worse.
You've
forgotten about that, haven't you, Sean?
Oh, wow.
Shall we move table again?
Wow. If we can, please. Moving on, as we definitely need to now. We mentioned Liverpool earlier. Dale Grealish, if you're a Liverpool fan...
Oh, God,
it's a strange terrible situation. I'm a little bit in the same situation as myself, because Gillingham are currently managed by a club legend, but he's a complete failure as a manager, and he's proven to be that. And it's exactly the same.
Because they had such a great start, didn't they? And they were getting so above their station.
I spoke to a Liverpool fan, good lad, Steve Evans. I'll send you a link so you can listen to this. He said, I asked him whether he thought Ken Dalglish, time to be a few questions asked about him. He said, he's maybe made one or two bad decisions. But you've got to look at some of the players. Stuart Downing.
He's still playing Jordan Stuart
Henderson,
Downing. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's the thing, Sean.
All the players that he mentioned were Kenny Dalglish signings.
That's true as well, and he's still picking them. Mm. Yeah. They've got a big enough squad. They put some youth players in. If they're not doing the business, then you can put youth players in. So, to a certain extent, when players aren't performing that have been brought in for good money and on good wages, you can say, right, it's up to the players. But if there's other options and you consistently pick the players that aren't performing, then it's down to the manager.
Yeah.
But I think the best scenario for Dalglish, from a Liverpool fans' point of view, might well be for him to go to an upstairs role and bring someone in.
Yeah.
To have him at the club for who he is and what he means to Liverpool. But managerial-wise, I don't know.
It is a shame that it hasn't really worked out. And obviously for Liverpool fans it is. But from a neutral point of view, I don't support Liverpool. Not really averse to him at all in any way. And it was a nice story that he was back and doing the business.
You've just reminded me of something, by the way.
Go on.
Right, well, it reminded me of Matt, my housemate, who you gave a lot of stick for being a...
Did you find out about me?
I did. Because you know what? It was straight after, almost straight after the podcast last week, I tweeted Matt the picture.
What's this got to do with Dalglish at Liverpool?
Because he supports Liverpool and he supports Saturday, and you gave him a load of sticks.
Dual nationality.
Yeah. Brilliant. And I also found a video of them dressing up Bilal Mosley in Thriller makeup and him doing the moonwalk. That's another thing. That's brilliant.
What, the players were doing that?
No. For some reason, Bilal Mosley was done up in as someone from the Thriller video.
Is that when they liked him?
Yeah, that's when they liked him. But straight after the podcast, I checked it out, and within minutes, he's been brought back in. He's been given the okay. They were going to get rid of him because another disciplinary moment. He got the bus home again or something.
He refused to get on the players' coach and got a lift home with a chair.
They've forgiven him again. Okay. So he's back in the squad again.
That's not good for team morale, is it? No matter how good the player is, and he's not that good.
No.
Trust me, he's not that good. You don't want that in your squad, really.
No, but apparently he must have said sorry again. And he's back again. That was a great impression.
Yeah, fair enough. We moved on from Dalglish, then we're done there. Stu, do you want to add anything about Liverpool?
No.
Coming, losing or drawing the game 3-0 up at QPR, I think he should just be sat there and then. Maybe even put down.
We've
conceded 3 goals to QPR in 13 minutes.
Mackie scored as well. That's a massive problem for you back four.
Mackie's a good player. Johnson's Paint Trophy, which we followed before this season. We were looking at the semi-finals. I was absolutely delighted. I don't like Swindon.
Would have been much bigger if Swindon had won.
Well, this is it. I quite liked it because A, I don't like Swindon. B, I think Paolo Di Canio, he's good fun, but he's a pompous idiot. And C, it was the final that Sky wanted, and it was not the result that Sky wanted.
No,
it was like watching Paolo Di Canio TV for 2 hours, wasn't it? Absolutely ridiculous.
I watched the majority of that final.
The game was more about one manager, two players, a scarf.
He's wearing a scarf and overcoat.
They must have shot to him on the sideline about 20 times.
Sure, what do you think of someone wearing an overcoat and a scarf in boiling hot weather?
Too much.
I do notice that your jumper has the sleeves have rolled down now, Stu.
It's
not cold.
It's cold.
It's just about as warm as it was. 2-0. Who watched it? You say you watched it.
Yeah, I watched most of it.
The guy Westcott, if they'd drawn the game eventually, because he was the one that missed the 1-1.
And then got
the second, he would have got some looks in the dressing room if they'd drawn that game. They nearly did. Swindon came back. It was 1-0. Swindon got a header, which was nicely tipped over the bar. Didn't really trouble them that much, to be honest, did they?
No, I switched off after about. I got ball after about 70 minutes. I think 1-0 down.
Okay, then you want to see Westcott was pretty lucky to stay on the pitch before he got his. The goal that sort of put it to bed.
Yeah,
bad challenge. But yeah, so we thought we'd mention that. It's a good old competition that. I think there was 40,000 as well at Wembley.
Really?
Yeah. Awesome. And Chesterfield must have walked sort of 10-15. That's a long old way for them. Swindon to Wembley is very easy to get to. And fair play to them. I think they took about 30,000, something like that. But the two, what was interesting as well for this year's final, it happens quite a lot. You've got one club right at the top of their league and one club right at the bottom of the league above. And it was quite nice for the team at the bottom. Obviously, they're going through a tough time. They only got promoted last year as well, Chesterfield.
Yeah.
They won the league, in fact.
They did. Storm season.
It'll be interesting to see if Swindon can get over that and secure promotion, which I think they will. They're quite a lot clear. But it'll be interesting if Chesterfield can take that into their league games and actually make a fist of staying up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's good motivation. You say, look, you've been at the biggest stage in football in terms of Wembley. You've performed there. Now go away to Brentford on a Tuesday night and get a result there.
Yeah, exactly.
But Brentford got a good result last night as well.
They did, didn't they?
At Preston. Mm-hmm. Preston are pulled away from trouble and then they might be creeping back into it. But
now, right. I think this is the biggest bit of news
this
of the week.
This is what we've been waiting for. Jerome.
Aston Villa reserves update.
I've got any notes. I'm only joking. Yeah.
I'd have actually gone mental there. I'd have said
he's,
Stuart.
He's prepared like Aston Villa.
You'd have been going in the river.
We are prepared. Yes, we are still top of the league. Only by 6 points at the time.
Lost to United, didn't
they? Yeah,
lost to United 3-1. But they had like a first team out pretty much, like, do you know what I mean? So
a first really team out? Go on, Em.
I don't know what a squad
it was. It wasn't a first team.
And there's only 3 games left for the season. We've got Liverpool next Monday. So, I think we should win the league.
Sure, it's the lose, isn't it?
Yeah, how many points are you ahead?
6 points clear.
So what's the score against Man United? You lost?
3-1.
Oh dear. Was that your game in hand, or you still got games in hand?
We've still got a game in hand. We've got 2 games in hand still.
And where do they play? Do you know that?
At the training ground called Bodmore Heath.
Okay.
Yeah, training ground.
Good training ground. Good facilities.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's brand new, actually. Yeah,
do you know the average attendance for the reserves?
It's about 2,000 to 3,000.
Do you?
2,000 to 3,000.
It
yeah.
is.
Do you?
What, for the reserves, get 3,000 at home.
Maybe that's 100. I'll get my numbers mixed up. I would presume it would.
Speaking of getting your numbers mixed up, did you find out the average number of hat-tricks scored in each Premier League season?
No, yeah.
Oh, well yeah, remembered.
Well remembered, yes. I didn't know.
He's making a note. He's making a note. Right, we were going to talk about the Championship and who might go up from the top two as it currently stands. We're going to bypass that because we've had a listener, Neil Kelly, who tweeted at us, was asking our views on the League One promotion race. Will anyone catch Charlton? Is it between the two Sheffield clubs, or have Huddersfield got a chance too?
Well,
he's
after,
a Huddersfield
after,
fan.
After last night's result, definitely. Back in a minute. Charlton have only taken 4 points out of the last five games.
They're still
6 points clear. They're 6 points clear, and they've played the same amount of games.
Eight points clear.
And the same amount of games played as Sheffield Wednesday.
And
however,
what result are you talking about last night?
Huddersfield beat Charlton 1-0.
Did they?
Yeah. Jordan Rhodes wrote his name into Huddersfield history.
That was at the weekend. That wasn't last night.
Was it not? Was it the weekend?
Yeah, it was the weekend. It wasn't last night.
Oh,
I was thinking that. I was thinking. Huddersfield didn't play last night.
Fair enough.
Yeah, a bit 1-0 at home. Yeah, Jordan Rhodes did score the penalty.
Anyway, both Huddersfield and Sheffield United have both got a game in hand. Now, Huddersfield are on 71, Sheffield United 73, Sheffield Wednesday 74, Charlton 82. I mean, Sheffield United win the game in hand. They're only 6 points behind. I think Charlton, the way they've been playing, I know they lost on the weekend, but I think they're pretty much they're out there. But
it's not beyond the realms, though.
It's not. I mean, there's seven games to go.
The big game last night as well, which is why I got confused when you said after last night's show, because MK Dons lost at home last night 2-1 to Carlisle.
That's right.
And Carlisle are one place below MK Dons now, so they're in sort of fifth or sixth. If MK Dons had won that, they would have been level on points with Sheffield United. They'd have leaped for Huddersfield.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, they would.
No, they wouldn't.
They're on 70 points. They'd have been level with Sheffield United on 73. I don't know where you're getting your stats from, but
BBC Sport.
No, must not have updated it from last night. If MK Dons would have won, they'd have been on 73 points with 39 played, which would be exactly level with Sheffield United. They'd have been a point away from second place.
How bizarre.
There you go. So yeah, massive, massive choke for them. They were 1-0 up with 10 minutes left as well, and they ended up losing 2-1. But I think the momentum is at the moment is with the two Sheffield clubs in Huddersfield, and Sheffield United are faltering a little bit. Sheffield Wednesday have changed their manager, had a couple of bad, like keep chopping points at home as well. They dropped a couple of draws at home.
Sheffield Wednesday's Achilles heel at the moment is their goal difference, because all the clubs around them have much better goal difference.
Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday goal difference. Yeah. They haven't actually got it written there,
you have to work it out in your head.
I'm not going to be able to do that. That could well come into it.
Yeah.
But
I think Charlton are going to get automatic promotion, I reckon.
It's looking a lot more interesting than it was, because not too long ago, Charlton were miles ahead at the time, and then the Sheffield clubs looked like they wouldn't be caught as well.
Yeah.
People are taking points off the Sheffield clubs, so other teams are going to come into it. I'd really like Huddersfield to go up. I really would. Oh, and I think if they got it, they'd make a decent fist of it in the Championship. In fact, I think all three of those teams that come up with
the only reason I would not want Huddersfield to go up is because of what happened to Lee Clark,
yeah.
But when you, like, so Neil's a Huddersfield fan, so maybe he could tweet us after listening to the show. A lot of Huddersfield fans that I listened to and read on Twitter and so forth weren't surprised by it at all.
Yeah.
Because he's just drawn too many games. And also, they've got the best squad that they've ever had. He's had money to spend. They've got one of the best squads they've ever had. And two seasons running, he's failed in the playoffs.
Okay.
I love summer dresses.
So, what are we looking?
Blue dress.
She's not that nice.
No, but it's the dress from here. She's all right. That dress.
What's that got to do with the League One promotion race?
I'm not sure. I've zoned out.
Right, so if we had to pick two teams to go up, who would you pick at the moment? Sean? We'll go clockwise from Sean.
I'd go Charlton and Sheffield Wednesday. Top two.
Dan?
I'm going to go Charlton and Chef U.
Stuart?
Charlton, Chef U.
Jerome?
I'll go Charlton and Huddersfield.
I'm gonna go with you. I think both Sheffield clubs are gonna fall one. I think everyone's gonna be up for playing the Sheffield teams.
Yeah.
City in and running. Because they take so many away. They both played Notts County and they both took about 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 away. When teams come out and see that, they raise the game for that as well. I know Huddersfield have got fantastic travelling support as well, but they're not quite the name of the Sheffield clubs. I think they're just gonna keep plugging away and getting wins, and I can see them getting up there.
Here we go.
What about a Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United derby at Wembley for a playoff final?
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
It would be pretty good, wouldn't it?
That'd be great.
I mean, that is That's very wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But that'd be great.
Right, there you go. Thank you to Neil Kelly for that one. I hope we've answered it. I'm going to open it out now for this. Any other news? Crack on.
Yes. Referee of the week in Brazil. Referee Jose Roberto Marquez.
I think you'll find it's Jose.
I think you'll find it's Portuguese, so they don't soften the J's. Yeah, anyway. Enough of that language debate. Yeah, proper lad he is. He's been suspended after CCTV footage showed him buying liquor in a gas station hours before a game while being held upright by two girls.
Lad.
How many hours before a game?
Marquez came out and said, I wasn't drunk, I was just anxious about the game. But apparently one of the teams who refereed, Batatais, the director, Luis Antonio Oliveira, said when he arrived for the game, he had 20 cups of water and kept laughing at the players. he then told a ball boy to take a corner. I felt that was very strange.
Good work.
Brilliant.
In terms of referee of the week, he's got to be up there with the blog that Stuart put up.
Wonderful.
What league was it? Do you know?
I haven't got a clue, mate. I hope it wasn't anything professional.
It was an African league, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an African league, but I don't know which country. No.
Bloody
it was.
Horrible.
Yeah, it was. He got absolutely. That geezer came in with a flying punch.
The first one.
Yeah. Oh, it was awful.
The blog is up there. It's titled, You Thought Roy Keane Was Bad. Obviously, in reference to the Roy Keane. Treating referees and the way Man United used to run after
him. I love the fact that after eventually the first scuffle has calmed down.
He's given his red, and
he's come back and gone, right, I've still got to give this geezer a red. So he sort of wandered back towards him about 30 yards away and sort of gone,
yeah,
mate, showing the red and turned away.
It wasn't
and
30 geezer, yards for long, was it?
No, and the geezer has legged it towards him. His own player's about to wrestle him to the ground. The referee's legging it out the
it's
stadium.
It's a good catch from that. If he had caught him, it would have been game over if he had caught up with the referee.
If you haven't seen this one, ladies and gents, please, get on the world and have a look. The last vlog that went up was a game from last night. Crawley Town went to Bradford City and won the game 2-1.
Five sending offs after the game had finished.
Yeah, basically
in the changing rooms.
Yeah.
The whistle went at full time and it just went absolutely crazy, didn't it? Crazy. So that's the last one up with Tuesday night.
My man,
right,
Claude Davis led with a bit of a.
Claude Davis appears to. It's like a wrestling move, isn't it?
Yeah, clothesline.
It's a forearm smash to a player that doesn't appear to be going for Claude Davis, it's going for someone else.
Yeah.
And from there, it just goes absolutely off. There's players getting punches in. I would have
nice
thought.
Nice bunch of lads of Crawley boys, aren't
they? Five red cards. Mm. Well, to be fair, after Davis did his, most of the punches have been from Bradford players.
Yeah.
If you actually look at it. Unfortunately, Steve Evans wasn't in there, which is what I put on the blog.
Well,
I loved it.
I bet he's gone straight down the changing room as soon as that kicked off. Yeah, he knew someone came in for him.
Because he was hungry. I would have thought there'd be a little few more suspensions coming from that.
Definitely.
Bans and what have you. Yeah. Because
after that footage gets replayed, definitely.
Yeah, the five that they sent off, there could be a lot more. It's always the same. A lot of players are trying to stop it and stuff like that, but there's probably more than five players that were the causing offences rather than stopping offences.
Yeah.
So, yeah, have a little look at that. Anything else? Roy Hodgson, is anyone going to mention Roy Hodgson?
No, we won't discuss any other blogs that have been put up since then either.
Oh, yeah, no, can you do that?
How did the song go? What was the song?
Is there any other news? Pants People, anyway.
Yeah. Something about jungle rock and roll.
Oh, there's loads of them, that's just one of them.
What, your mum's in loads of them?
Yeah.
She got
around.
Yeah, Dan has put the Pants People. If you didn't listen last week, Dan's mum was in Pants People, so he's put that blog up.
Was she the dark-haired, kind of like, sort of wavy, long wavy
Long
hair.
Dark hair, in the middle at the beginning. Yeah.
What blog title did you go with in the end?
No.
Which one did you go with? Because Dan asked our thoughts. He said, right, I've written it, I've got the video.
We did suggestions.
Need a snappy blog title. So what did you go for in the
suggestions
end?
Suggestions out there.
I think it was...
Get your pans out.
Get your pans out.
In a reference to your mum's breasts. Direct reference to your mum's tits.
Possibly.
Yeah.
One pubcast has claimed the fame.
So it was your claim to fame. You didn't want to go with some of the other suggestions that... I say we, it was mostly me. Mostly me would ya?
Would
question
you?
Mark.
I'd definitely
smash
do
it.
Her.
She's my mum, I still
it.
Would. ..
No, I didn't fancy her.
Fair enough.
But thanks for your suggestions, boys.
Stuart Hoare has been on the blog front this week, actually. don't know where else we get them. I get the impression you might just be stealing them from someone else's website.
Not true.
Which I really hope isn't true, because if we're tweeting about it and they're all on someone else's website in the same order, I'll be
not
very...
in the same order. I'm joking, it's nothing to do with anyone else.
All right, you put up the German fans, which is Magdeburg FC.
That is brilliant.
German second division team. Drill. They hadn't scored a goal in how many
five.
Games?
Five games.
Yeah. Games. So they all brought arrows.
Giant arrows,
which they pointed.
Made as well, some of them absolutely shocking.
Brilliant.
Which they pointed towards the goal as their team attacked. So if you haven't looked at that, go on the website, scroll down, and the photo is there. It's absolutely genius. It'll make you smile. It really will. We've also had Maradona doing a roly-poly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't even a goal celebration, was it?
No.
It was,
what was wrong with it?
It was in.
It was a miss.
Frustration.
And it wasn't even like it was a tap in, like an easy chance. Like, yeah, okay. Giza probably should have buried it, but yeah. It wasn't that bad, and he starts roly-polying.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And we've had the Drogba incident, which we've already talked about as well, which is quite interesting. Mario Balotelli news.
Dan? Yes, there is Mario Balotelli news. Actually, no, I wasn't going to say it, but there's brilliant. What was he doing in Milan?
Don't know.
Right,
he's on a break, isn't it?
Like, right, so he's on a little break.
Probably
he's
just touring prisons, you know, like he does.
I love it. It's only Mario Balotelli. So it's the new, it's the press conference for Inter Milan to introduce the new coach, who was a youth team coach. Someone pronounce his name. I haven't got a clue.
No.
It's a really hard one.
Because if I do, Sean's only going to correct me. Anyway, so
anyway, it was their press conference that they were introducing the new first team coach. As they've started, about a couple of seconds really into them starting,
Stramaccioni,
that's it. Stramaccioni. Balotelli's just wandered in to the press conference, and they've spotted him on the left hand side.
And what a surprise! The guy said, "What a surprise!"
Yeah, it was right, and he's waved him. Balotelli's just thought, "Oh, I'll go say hello while I'm here." So cameras rolling, all journalists there. He's gone up to him and just started shaking all the hands, giving the president, giving him a little cheeky double kiss, as you do in Italy.
Yeah,
and that was it. Said. Nice to see you, and wandered off. And
they needed to change the manager, though. Their record was unbelievably bad recently under Ranieri, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was really bad. Talking of managers and bad, Roy Hodgson, have you seen the black armband thing?
No.
He was wearing a black armband for the game against Newcastle. I think it was for someone locally or someone within the club that was that unfortunately passed away.
Okay.
So wearing a black armband in remembrance. When they conceded their third goal, he tore the armband off and threw it on the floor.
No. Wow.
It was obviously in complete frustration. I'll blog it. I'll put it up in a minute.
It was obviously just in complete frustration.
And he has since apologised profusely and said it was just... He didn't really realise what he was doing. But it's a little bit shocking because you consider him a nice guy, isn't he?
You can see that it was no malice.
Exactly,
it?
Which is why straight away you think, well, something's gone on there, and he's obviously not realised what he was doing. If it was some other managers, then it would have caused an absolute furore. But the fact that you guys haven't heard about it,
it's Roy, isn't it?
It's probably indicative of that. One last bit of news from me before I pass it over to someone else. Lee Sutherland from FFDU sent us a message. Found another white chip this morning. Just to let Dan know I'm saving them up for him.
Cheers.
Is that when we do our
cheers, mate.
Podcaster exchange.
Yeah, that's our man in Australia who has been bitten by a load of white tips, which sound a little more dangerous than they are, but they're quite big spiders, and he's saving them up for Dan. So he wasn't actually bitten this time, so that's quite good.
That's nice.
While we're talking about FFDU, episode 15 is live on the site as well at the moment. So
vote for us in the awards.
For us in the awards as well. Well done, Sean. You're very good at that. I reckon Sean's been buying new laptops and new HP addresses to vote for us all the time as well. So, go on, Dan, what are you trying to think?
No, I think it was straight after the Arsenal game. It might have been the game. I think it was the Arsenal game when I just tweeted shit the bed, and all the FFDU boys came back straight and went basically mocked me and went brilliant. We're using that in our next podcast. Cheers, lads. Thanks for highlighting my misery.
Never mind. Right. Talking of Australia, we're going to move on to the Melbourne Heart update. We've got a burning question, but we're 50 minutes down.
I don't know what we've been talking about.
No.
We've been moving tables.
The big move.
Right.
Caused a lot of stress within it. So we'll do the podcast burning question next week.
Right. As we know, Melbourne Heart had to lose 8-0 against Adelaide to not make the playoffs. Don't worry, lads. They drew 1-0.
Yes.
So they are officially now in the playoffs. They start straight away. They start this weekend. There's Friday night is the first game, Saturday night is the second game, Sunday night.
So will that be Friday morning our time?
Not sure, but Melbourne Heart are playing at 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon, Aussie time, which will obviously be first thing Sunday morning. our time. So that is the one to watch out for. They're playing Perth Glory,
right,
who have gone on a very good run of form recently. It's going to be an absolutely blinding game. They've got their one of their players. Where is he?
Who scored the goal for Melbourne Heart?
Who do you reckon?
Babouge.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Of course he did.
How old is this guy? Can you find out a bit more about him?
I will. I'll have a bit of stats about him.
Because we keep hearing his name, but I don't actually know much about him. Because if he's scoring this, there must be other clubs looking at him, surely.
He's doing right. The problem is they're up against...
Perth Glory, you've said that already.
No, I know that.
What are you doing?
Shane Smeltz. Shane Smeltz.
Kiwi.
Yeah, he's a Kiwi striker.
Used to play for AFC Wimbledon, didn't he?
He got four in the last game, and he's now officially the A-League's top scorer.
All right, can you do me a favour? Can you get a little bit of info on Shane Smeltz?
He played for AFC Wimbledon like a few rungs down the ladder, and then he went to Turkey as well.
If he's been around like that, I'd like to know about him. And our man, Eli Babouge. You never know, they both might have scored by the time next time. So is that two legs then?
I think that's the idea is that
because
they finish higher. Perth have got the home game, and that's why it's at Perth at the Shed, it's called. But other quick bit of news.
I like that. If you was a fan of Perth, you could just say to Mrs. I'm just going to nip down to the Shed. She thinks you're away doing DIY. You're getting the Fosters in and drinking, watching the game. Brilliant. I like that.
But
Coxon, that was a genuine laugh.
A genuine punchline and a joke and everything.
You're a stand-up comedian.
Rubbish one.
Still
other great news though.
Gig, has he?
No.
They've announced the team of the year, the A League team of
Excellent.
The year. They've gone for a 3-4-3 formation for the first time ever,
great.
As they do. But the great news is that four of the Melbourne they've got the starting line and a subs bench as well.
Yep.
Four of the Melbourne Heart players have made the team of the year, with Fred, our man, being named captain of the team of the year.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. So absolutely brilliant. We've got.
So he's playing half a season. He's spent most of his time barbecuing.
Yeah. Michael Marone, Aziz Behich, and Clint Bolton. Clint Bolton was named as the backup keeper, but the rest of them all been named in the A League team of the year. So congratulations to the boys. It just proves what a fantastic season they've had.
So how many players did Melbourne Heart have in there?
Four.
Four in the squad.
Yeah, four out of
three of them starting lineup.
Three, yeah, out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, out of a squad of 16.
Nice.
Out of a squad of 16, four of the players. Paul Eiffel was in there as well.
Yeah. Harry Kuehl and Nick Cole can only make the bench.
Yeah.
Oh, Harry Kuehl making the bench.
Mm. Yeah, so.
Yeah, shock.
Yeah.
So, he's going to pull out injured.
Basically, rounds off, let's hope. Go on, the Heart. Let's get to the semi-finals.
Definitely. That about wraps up. Anyone for any more?
Nah,
right. We all good?
I want to go get some lunch.
We all good? I'm really hungry as well. This is the sunshine. You can contact us. Email banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. Facebook, www.facebook.com. And then /thefootballpodcast. You have to add a the.
The.
Yeah.
Follow
us on Twitter @footballpodcast, and you can obviously visit the site www.footballpodcast.co.uk.
There's been loads of logged up.
Anyone want to complain?
At Simon Head for any complaints.
At Simon Head.
As we said, there's loads of stuff on the site at the moment. I'm going to put the Roy Hodgson blog up now as well, if I can remember his name when I go onto YouTube. So that'll be up there in a minute as well. So loads of stuff on
keep
there.
An eye. We're going to be bashing loads up this week as well.
As always, the show is live every Thursday, so you're obviously listening to this, you've downloaded it, you know it's been Thursday's been and gone. I hope your Wednesday was alright.
Sorry for letting you down again as well.
Have a good night.
You're not professional.
We are not professionals. But there we go, fellas, ladies, gents, speak to you next week. Take care.
Food?
Yeah, starving.
I can't believe Shook kept his fucking jumper on.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I'm glad he's left.
I'm glad he's left too. Oh dear, oh dear.